Well, some of you I know are breathing easier just from the fact that there's seven of these deadly sins and we've already done four. So there's less left than there were when we started, and we're almost halfway through. My own personal pain is that we had to discuss greed, and I had to think about greed on the very same week that Apple announces that there's a new iPad out. Our scripture reading comes today from Luke chapter 12. And if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. And if not, you're welcome to listen. As we read from Luke chapter 12, I'm going to begin with verse 13 and read down through verse 21. Then someone called to Jesus from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And then I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not to have a rich relationship with God." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity once again to gather and worship you. We thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through our gathering thus far. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. I especially pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And we humbly ask, God, that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that we hear from you today might be for us more than just information, but indeed, Lord, may we find your words transforming, and might you transform us by the power of your word and by the Holy Spirit. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we've prayed together, saying amen. Back in the early 90s, James Patterson and Peter Kim wrote a book called The Day America Told the Truth. And in this book, what they had done is they had polled the entire nation on a variety of questions about different things. And one of the questions was this: what are you willing to do for $10 million? What are you willing to do for $10 million? At least two-thirds of Americans that were polled would agree to at least one, some to several of the following. Would abandon their entire family, 25% of the people said they would for $10 million. Would abandon their church, 25% said they would abandon their church for $10 million. Would become prostitutes for a week or more, 23%. Would give up their American citizenships, 16%. Would leave their spouses, 16%. Would withhold testimony and let a murderer go free, 10%. Would kill a stranger, 7%. And 3% said they would put their children up for adoption. Now, I'm not sure how true these numbers are, in the sense that sometimes when somebody asks us a question, particularly when we know that we're being polled about something, we might not be as honest as we could. But the truth is that greed is a part of our culture. It's a part of our lives. It's a part of how we do things in our country. Indeed, some of you may remember, as I do, the movie Wall Street years ago, back in the 80s, with Michael Douglas. And Michael Douglas made this famous comment in the movie, "Greed is good. Greed is good." But Jesus has other ideas about greed, doesn't he? You know, it's interesting. In those days, they didn't really have judges. They didn't really have a judicial system in the time of Jesus. So often, what they would do is they would bring some judicial matter, some matter that we might adjudicate, I guess, in a court, they would bring to the rabbi. So that's how the story starts. Jesus is about to teach, and this guy says, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide my estate with me." Now, it's likely that the guy that said this was probably one of the younger siblings, because in those days, the older sibling, specifically the older brother, got the entire estate. So he was probably saying, "Hey, my older brother's being greedy. He won't give me my fair share." And of course, Jesus said, "What'd you bring this to me for? What did you bring this for me for?" And then Jesus says, "Be on your guard for any kind of greed." And he tells this wonderful story about a guy who had more than he needed. He had so much more that he needed that, well, in his day he built barns. In our day, he might just rent a storage building. You know what I'm saying? He might rent two or three of them. You know, it seems like every time something is built around us, it's one of those self-storage buildings to put stuff in. But anyway, he says, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to store up all this stuff, because you know what? I'm tired of working. I've got all of these things, and I think I'll store all this stuff up so that I can just live, be happy, eat, drink, and be merry." And there was a problem with that philosophy, wasn't there? Because God said to him, "You fool. Tonight you are going to die, and who is all your stuff going to go to then? Where is all your stuff going to go to when you die?" You know, you've seen this bumper sticker just like I have. It's been around for some time. It says, "He who has the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys wins." Not really. "He who dies with the most toys is dead, and the toys go somewhere else." Right? I mean, come on. That makes sense. But it does seem that there's an inherent part of our human sinful nature that wants us to have more. Wants us to have more. And we're not satisfied until we just have a little more. You know, I was joking to you, sort of, at the beginning about the new iPad and everything. And you see, I was gifted with an iPad last year. It was the iPad 2, and it's really adequate. It really does a good job, and I really enjoyed the thing until last week. I mean, it was just fine until last week. And then all of a sudden, I started reading about how great the new iPad is and how much better it is than the one I have, and pretty soon, I started looking at mine, and I said, "This is pitiful. This is terrible. What did I get this thing for? Gosh, it is so outdated." And it seems silly, doesn't it? But it happens to us all the time, because we always want more. We always want better. We always want the upgraded version. And we're always afraid that somebody might get it before we do. And when we do, we are exercising that deadly sin, greed. Now, why is greed so deadly? What's so deadly about greed? What is so wrong with greed? And it's almost like lust to me as I think about this deadly sin, because in our society it seems silly to even talk about greed. You know, we might talk about the 99% and the 1%, but in reality most of us would like to be the 1%. And we'd like to have a little more. And greed is deadly to us for the reasons that Jesus identifies, because we could be rich in things and poor towards God. Poor towards God. We could have lots of things, but not have a relationship with God like we should have. And why do things get in the way? Well, in this story, this story that Jesus told, what happens is the reason that the guy wants to build bigger barns, the reason that he wants more storage area, is so he can be self-reliant. So he doesn't have to rely on anybody or anything else. And that's the danger with greed. You see, it keeps us from relying on God. It keeps us from relying on God's good favor. It keeps us from relying on God to provide our needs. And indeed, the scripture says that God is the giver of every good gift. But when we could store enough, when we could have enough, when we think that we could get enough, that we could just sit back and go, whew, just going to eat, drink, and be merry, then this deadly sin has taken over. And when we are no longer reliant on God, we are spiritually empty. We are spiritually dead, aren't we? We don't have to rely on God for anything. And it's really amazing to me because sometimes we think that our wealth, that our possessions, that what we have, really, we want more. But what I know is that at the bedside of a dying person, that doesn't matter anymore. All the things that we have, all the money that you have, whatever you got stored up in your 401k or your pension plan, it doesn't matter anymore at that point. And that's why Jesus told this parable. He said, when your life is required of you, what happens when you die tonight? Where does your stuff go? Where does your money go? Who's it going to go to? And sometimes I've seen families split over inheritances. Haven't you? Haven't you? I'll never forget in my own family, my aunt and my mother, the only two sisters, who ended up with a $20,000 inheritance from my great-grandparents, my mother's grandparents, that they decided to split. And then when the other great-grandparent died, something happened to all the money. All $20,000 of it. Understand, I'm not talking about $200,000. I'm not talking about $20 million. I'm talking about $20,000. And it caused such a rift between my mother and her sister and that family that we like to not got over it. $20,000. Really? But it happens, doesn't it? I mean, it happens. People take great care to make sure that their wealth is going to go to whoever they want it to go to, when indeed sometimes it turns out not to be a blessing to the person, but it turns out to be a curse. We even have a term for it, don't we? Trust fund baby. Trust fund baby. That's what we call it. And we shouldn't have to look very much further than Paris Hilton to see what happens when people get money that they did not earn. So if greed is a deadly sin, if it's deadly to our soul, what's the antidote? What's the antidote to greed? Well, it's very, very simple. The antidote to greed is another word that begins with G, and it's called to give. It's called to give. And you see, sometimes we don't think those two things go together, because we forget that everything that comes into our lives, every good thing, the scripture says, comes from God, and that includes everything that we have. And the only way to combat greed and this sin in our lives is to give. And I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes giving is difficult. It's difficult. Let me share with you an example that just happened to me on Friday. This past Friday, Hannah and I, she's home for spring break, my daughter Hannah, and so we decided we were going to go eat lunch together. We go to eat lunch in Rivergate, and we enjoyed the food so much at this restaurant, we ordered a couple of extra plates to take home. And as we're driving out of the restaurant, and we pull up, and we're sitting at this red light at Rivergate, there's a homeless man standing there with a cardboard sign. And he's not selling the contributor, the little paper that they have. I mean, he's got a sign, and he's wanting money. So Hannah looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said, "Dad, do you have any money?" And I said, "No, I never, ever have any cash." I said, "Do you have any money?" That was foolish. The only money that she would have would be the money that I have. So I said, "Well, you know, maybe this guy, I mean, who knows?" I said, and I was explaining to her about the contributor, about the newspaper, and maybe we should help somebody to buy a newspaper. And just about that time, Hannah said, "You know what, Dad? They packaged that soup. We're not going to eat that soup at the restaurant that went with the meals. Why don't we give him the soup?" Well, the problem was is that the soup is in the seat behind me, and I've watched this woman at the restaurant tie that bag to make sure that the soup wouldn't get out. And I thought, oh my gosh, we're in the turn lane. The light's about to turn green. What will we do? And about that time, the light turned green, and off we went. And it was so funny because at every corner in Rivergate as we left, there was somebody standing there either selling the contributor or they had a cardboard sign. And I'm ashamed to say to you this morning that those two little bowls of soup are still in my refrigerator. And they're probably going to be thrown out. And you see, the thing I understand about giving is that if you don't start to think about giving, if you don't think about giving, if you don't try to fight your own greed, when the opportunity to give comes, you'll miss it. Because it'll take you too long to think about it. It'll take you way too long to think about it. You see, if I'd had any sense, I'd have made sure that the woman at the restaurant, I'd been like, don't close that. Don't close that. Somebody might need this food before we get back to our house. But of course, what was I thinking about? I was thinking about having soup all over the back seat and the floorboard of my car. I wasn't thinking about giving. And you see, I think God taught me a big lesson, and this is a lesson that all of us could learn. If you are going to be a giver, you've got to decide in advance that you're going to be a giver. And it's the only way to defeat greed. Because you know what the symbol of greed is? It's a clenched fist. Oh, you think that's a symbol of anger, a clenched fist? No, it's not. It's a symbol of grasping, grasping, grasping. And what happens if we get some money? We hang on to it tightly, don't we? And the problem is when we hang on to it tightly, not only can it not go out, but nothing else can come in either, can it? I mean, it really can't. Nothing more can come in our hands when we have them tightly clenched. But what a difference we can make when we decide to give, when we decide to combat our own deadly sin of greed, of avarice, of coveting other people's things. So you defeat that when you give. You defeat it. And that's the way, brothers and sisters, that we can overcome our own greed. I'll never forget, many years ago, I was serving a church, and we had an annual fish fry. And the fish was donated to the fish fry, and we generally made anywhere from $1,500, $2,000, sometimes $2,500, depending on whether it rained on the day of the fish fry or not and how many people came out. But I'll never forget, I was sitting with the council of the church, the leadership of the church, and we were sitting around a table. And as we sat around the table, the topic of discussion was what to do, and it was about $2,200, what we were going to do with that $2,200, what was going to happen to it. And there was one little group around the table that wanted it to go in one direction, and another little group around that table that wanted to go in another direction, and pretty soon the conversation began to get heated among good Christian people who I loved. These were not people that were greedy, but something happened around that table that bothered me as I heard the discussion continue to go on. And so finally they both factions kind of looked to me. I felt like Jesus in the story because I knew they wanted me to make a decision. Which faction? Which direction? And this is what I said, and I wish I could say I said this. This is what the Holy Spirit said through me. I told this group, I said, you know what? This money, about 45 minutes ago, ceased to be a blessing to our church. And the best thing we can do with this money is find somebody to give it to and give it to them quick. And of course, they all looked at me like, what? We worked hard for this. God gave us this. And I said again, you know what? I said, I love you people, but something has happened around this table that I don't like, and it's not who we are. And we need to get rid of this money. I will not rest until this money is given somewhere else, because it has ceased to be a blessing to us. And we ended up giving the money away the next day to somebody who really needed it and who used it to provide for some people in need. And I wonder how many times it is, whether it's us as a church or us in our individual lives, forget the power that comes from giving. We always think about, what am I going to get? And I'm telling you, the only way to beat greed is to give, and is to be willing to give whatever it is that you're stuck with, be willing to give that away. And then we're going to find out that it's very true what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But I think one of the ways that we do that is we have to prepare ourselves to be people who are willing to give. So the real question, as we consider greed, the real question before us is this: what's your hope built on? Is your hope built on the stock market? And how well your investments do, and how much you end up in your 401k? Is that where your hope is built? Is your hope built on your home, and how good your home looks, and how much your home might be worth? Is your home built on how much stuff you have, and whether or not you have the latest gadgetry? Ouch, ouch, ouch. Or is your hope built? Is your hope built on Jesus Christ? Is your hope built on God, who has promised to take care of you? Is your hope built on Jesus, who said, why do you worry about what you wear and what you will eat? Because your heavenly Father wants to provide those things for you. Are you willing to be dependent on God? Is that where your hope is? Or is your hope in how much you can earn, and how much you can save, and how much you can keep? That's the real question before us. And if we learn the difference between greed and giving, we will understand that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and that we will be people who wholly lean on Jesus, and he will be our rock. And that's the kind of person that I think we all want to be. So where is your hope built? What's your hope built on? Have you thought about giving? Have you thought about your own greed and how to combat that in you? Because ultimately, it's not he who dies with the most toys that wins, but it's he who dies who understands who Jesus is and has a relationship with Jesus. That's who wins.